We've been talking on life, the four big questions of life and Bible study. And that forms your worldview. The four big questions in life that forms your worldview. And we said you must have a coherent answer to these four questions. Origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. Somebody doesn't have a coherent answer to these four questions. In bad English, your worldview is out of whack. You can't function the way you should as a human being. And everyone has a worldview. You know, as I said the last time, it's like a belly button. We all have it, but no one really pay attention to it. But everyone has a worldview. It's your worldview that helps you make decisions what to vote on, who to vote for, what to be against, what to be for, how to treat your neighbor. All this has to do with your worldview. So since there were, although Bible study people have been attending, but I kind of felt that everybody needs to hear this. And for those who were not able to come to Bible study, so I decided to do a four sermon series and started last week on this, a four sermon series. But that four sermon series is nothing like Bible study. Bible study, we goes into depth. In depth, and we have conversations, we have discussions, and we go deep into it. But I just want to give you a little bit of sense what that does that look like, and so that's why we're doing this series. So today's sermon's title, I usually don't give the title of my sermons, but today the title of the sermon is "When All Life Seems to Be Is One Bad Swing After Another." What do you do? When all life seems to be one bad swing after another, what do you do? A Scotsman came to the United States excited to demonstrate a brand new game called golf to President Ulysses Grant. He carefully placed the ball on the tee and he took a mighty swing. The club hit the turf and dirt scattered all over the president's beard and suit. But the ball remained unmoved on the tee. Again, the Scotchman swung, and again he missed. And President Grant waited patiently through six tries, and then quietly stated, "Sir, there seems to be a fair amount of exercise in this new game, but I fail to see the purpose. I fail to see the purpose." Most people set out in life excited with big dreams, determined to conquer the world. But soon, every swing they take, it seems like the ball remains unmoved on the tee. More often than not, the only thing they have to show for it is dirt flying in the air. And little by little, you begin to lose your sense of purpose. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? Don't raise your hand. But are you here this morning? Have you been asking this question, long lost your sense of purpose and asking the question, what am I here for? What is my purpose in life? You wanted to be a doctor. Isn't it amazing how every child you speak to, they have something they want to be in life. Hannah wanted to be a fire truck. My daughter. She didn't want to be a fireman. Or firewoman, she wanted to be a fire truck. You know, now she changes it to a firewoman. When you were a child, you had big dreams. Everything, when you wanted to do something, there was no question in your mind. Every kid who plays at the Y basketball have a dream to be in the NBA, whether they can dribble or not. And you can't tell them anything. You wanted to be a doctor, but in the fourth grade, you took a swing at a math test. And when you received the grade, the ball remained unmoved. You begin to tell yourself, maybe I'm over my head. Maybe I'm not good enough. In the eighth grade, you're still excited about life. But you decided to take a swing at sport and the ball remained unmoved. Everyone seems to be a little bit faster than you. More coordinated than you. You begin to take a swing at cheerleading. When you show up, all the girls seem prettier than you, more flexible than you, And they make sure that you are aware of it too. You begin to question yourself, am I good enough? What's my purpose in life? When you get to high school, you decide that you would take a swing at love, but still the ball remained unmoved. All he wanted was what you had to give. He didn't want a friendship. He didn't want to walk hand in hand. Baby, he says often, if you love me, you would sleep with me. And now you are left, you left high school with a broken heart, broken dream, and a broken self-esteem. You begin to lose your identity. You're barely able to recognize the little girl or the little boy who had so much to offer this life. Now that you're an adult, the little boy is still sitting in the corner of your soul asking, what am I here for? The little girl is inside of you wondering, what's the meaning of life? You know, it is not hard to fail to see life's purpose when every swing you take in life, the ball remains unmoved. This morning I want to talk to you about how to find life's meaning. Your life's purpose when all life seems to be is one bad swing after another. And to do that, I want to turn to the book of Genesis and do a case study on the life of Joseph. See, Joseph was 16 years old and about to turn 17 years old when his brothers sold him into slavery. Well, first they dropped him in a pit and then they sold him into slavery. And he landed in Egypt and spent 10 years as Potiphar's first slave and later as his overseer. So now he's about 27 years old. And he's doing everything he can. He finds himself jailed for more than 3 years to no fault of his own. And all this happened while he was cut off from his family, his people, and his church. Yet through it all, Joseph kept on swinging. Kept on swinging. Inside the pit, he keeps on swinging. At Potiphar's house as his slave, he kept on swinging. As an overseer, he kept on swinging. And now he finds himself in jail. And Joseph, with all the disappointment life can bring, never stopped swinging the ball. Now, how does one find meaning, discover life's purpose, when every swing they take in life, the ball remained unmoved? You see, it all hinges on a coherent answer, as I said before, to these four questions. Origin. Why am I here? Who am I? Why am I here? What makes me human? Second, meaning. What is my life's purpose? Do I have a meaning? Destiny. Is there life after death? Morality. What's the standard of right and wrong? Yes, I said the last one first. You could put it. Destiny. Is there life after death? Joseph knew his life purpose. Joseph knew his life purpose because he knew who he was. Joseph knew his life purpose because he knew who he was. The first step to finding, that's what we preached last week, the first step to finding meaning in life is to know who you are. The first step in finding your purpose in life is to know who you are. Joseph knew he was not primate of a single cell that evolved by accident. Nor did he come from ape. Joseph knew who he was, and he did not need to take philosophy 101. Nor go to a divinity school. Joseph knew he was God's creation. He was made in God's image, in God's likeness. It is important to know who you are if you're going to find your life's purpose. Because you can only know, and you gotta know who is, him knowing He was God's creation. He was made in God's image and his likeness, because you can only know who you are when you know whose you are. You can only know who you are when you know whose you are. When you know whose you are, whether you are in Egypt or anywhere else, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Africa, Haiti, Massachusetts, you never lose your identity. Made in his image, in his likeness. And Joseph was sure of that, that he was not an accident, that he was here by design. And he was God's masterpiece. In order for you to know your purpose in life, first you have to know who you are. But to know who you are, you have to know whose you are. I've said this before in this church. You see, a basketball in my hand worth about $35. But in the hand of LeBron James, worth millions of dollars. Billions of dollars. A golf ball in my hand is worth about $2. But in the hand of Tiger Woods, it's worth millions. And when you know who you are and whose you are, that you are God's masterpiece, you could walk with your head up because you know you have a lot of worth in you. No one can tell you who you are because you know whose you are. God's masterpiece. It starts there. Because Joseph knew who he was, he had never had to go find himself. You know, somebody says, well, I'm in Egypt. My family is not around. My church is not around. I have no one around. Then it's time for me to find myself. And they get into all sorts of things, trying to find themselves. But when you know whose you are, you never have to go find yourself. Because you know why? You know you had already been found. You are God's. God's masterpiece. And not only Joseph knew who he was, he also knew his life. That's why he was able to know his life's purpose. I want you to know your life's purpose is no different than Joseph's life purpose. Your life's purpose is no different than Joseph's life's purpose. The question is, do you know your life's purpose? Do you know your life purpose? Why you are here for on this earth? The answer is found in Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 to 8. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold in Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. In just a few sentences, Joseph told us his life's purpose and ours. Joseph's life purpose and ours is to enhance God's reputation wherever we are on this earth. That is your life purpose. That is my life purpose. Our life purpose is to enhance God's reputation wherever we are on this earth. Whether at your job, in your neighborhood, inside your house, your life purpose is to enhance God's reputation on earth. He knew what his life purpose was. He knew what his life purpose was in the pit, not when he got at the top. He knew his life purpose when he was in the pit. He knew his life purpose when he was a slave. He knew his life's purpose when he was a manager. Wherever Joseph was, he knew his life's purpose was to enhance God's reputation. Let's check it out. Genesis chapter 39, verse 6 to 10. Listen to what happened. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. We started talking about last week. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you. Because you are his wife, how then I could do such a wicked thing and sin, not against Potiphar, but against God?" The God who allowed him to be dropped in a pit. The God who allowed him to be sold as a slave. The God who allowed him to be in Egypt. Imagine going to work every day facing this temptation. Every day. That's what the Bible says if you continue to read. Every day, Potiphar's wife put the best clothes she had on. Smelled great. And then she's probably one of the most beautiful women in the land. You know how I know? I've lived this. Anywhere you go in life, look at the guys who have money and power. He could look like a nerd. He has the best looking woman in his hand. So I knew Potiphar's wife was beautiful. And she had the best clothes. She smelled the greatest. Every day Joseph come to work, he had to face with this temptation. The boss's wife every day wake up with one purpose, and one purpose alone is to seduce Joseph. Imagine going to work every day. Some of us would have excuses. Joseph could have excuses to fall with Potiphar's wife. He could have said the temptation was too hard. I got weak in my knees. After all, I'm just a guy. He could have made that excuse. Because it seems those are the excuses we often make as men. The temptation was too hard. I got weak. After all, I'm a guy. Joseph could have made excuses and said, "Well, then it's going to be revenge sex. I'm taking revenge because of all that they've done to me." Or he could have made the excuses of bragging rights. Yeah. I'm with the boss's wife. And he could have all that with the boys. Bragging right with the boys. But Joseph knew his purpose in the pit. At Potiphar's house, whether as a slave or overseer, he knew that he could not do that to his God because his life's purpose is to enhance God's reputation. And if he had fallen with Potiphar's wife, he would decrease God's reputation. So he decided to enhance God's reputation because he knows that's his purpose in life. What's your purpose in life? Maybe sexual temptation is not yours. But what's your temptation? What do you face every day? What do you face with every day that would lure you away from God? And then if someone find out, they would say, "Oh, and he called himself a Christian." Is that what you hear? Every time a man of God or a woman of God fell from grace, what is the first thing that people said? "Oh, then they called himself Christian." Joseph knew he could not do this to his God. He had one purpose and one purpose only, to enhance God's reputation, whether he's in the pit or as a slave or as a manager inside Potiphar's house. Listen, every day you wake up, you put your boots on, you put your shoes on, you put your coats on. It's an opportunity to decrease God's reputation or increase or enhance God's reputation. Which one would it be for you? Which one will it be for me? There's a verse in the Bible, I can't remember which verse, it says, prepare your mind for action. Every day you wake up as a Christian, you should prepare your mind for action and tell yourself, today I'm getting out there and I have only one purpose. Yes, I will go to work. Yes, I will buy food. Yes, I'll have some fun. But I have one purpose before I come back to my house, to enhance God's reputation. Joseph knew his purpose was to enhance God's reputation. He didn't just do it at Potiphar's wife, at Potiphar's house. Genesis chapter 39, verse 11 to 12. At Potiphar's wife, he says, Joseph knew his purpose in the... One day, he went into the house to attend his duties. And none of the household servant was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Then Joseph's character put him in jail. Because when Potiphar came back, his wife said, oh, you brought this slave, this guy from, this Jew, you brought here, this Hebrew boy, you brought here. He came to have sport with me. He came to take advantage of me. I wonder what happens when you're doing the right thing. When you're mistreated for doing the right thing. What happened in your heart when you're mistreated for holding on to your integrity? What happened? Joseph, the Bible never says Joseph contests that. But there's something else I think I take a look at. I said, Potiphar should have killed Joseph. Why put him to jail? All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Should have killed him. He put him in jail. Where did he put him in jail? Where the king, where Pharaoh puts his royal man in prison. Not any prison. God is making way. There's a song that says, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for you. He will be your guide. He will be your guide. And sometimes for him to bring you where he wants to bring you, he has to lead you to the valley of the shadow of death. But when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, do not think you are alone. He says, I will be with you. You could take swing in the shadow of the valley and miss 10 out of 10. I want you to know God is with you. But in order for him to bring you to where he wants to bring you, sometimes he has to go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. So Joseph finds himself in a dungeon. But while he was in the dungeon, Joseph was not crying. He was not having a pity party. Joseph was not saying, I lose my purpose. He knows who he is. He knows whose he is. So he can't ever lose his purpose. He knew his identity. There's a song that says about David, though some may see you as a shepherd boy, but God see you as a king. Never forget that. His own father, when they said, well, there's another boy. You don't have anyone else? Well, I have one more. He's the youngest. He's watching the sheep. He doesn't look like a king. Doesn't act like a king. He doesn't play the part. Yeah, in men's eyes, you may not play the part. But in God's eyes, even though you're watching the shepherd, you are king in his heart. You are king in his mind. Remember I told you you were his masterpiece? You truly are his masterpiece. Even in the dungeon, even in the shadow of the valley of death, even in the pit, even as a slave, you never lose your worth. You know your identity. You know whose you are. After they have been in custody, Bible says sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the kings of Egypt offended their masters. The king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was angry with these two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph's care, and he attended to them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. And when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today? Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had a dream," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me your dream." Again, as Joseph sitting, being in the dungeon, being in that jail cell, he is looking for a way to enhance God's reputation. He didn't say, "Give me some time, I will go and interpret your vision for you or your dream for you." He's looking for an opportunity to tell people about his God. I love to see people like this. Whether they're at the grocery store, they're looking for an opportunity to tell someone about God. Whether they're in the school, whether they're on a train or on a bus, they're looking for an opportunity to enhance God's reputation. Do not interpretation belong to God. In the dungeon, he's looking for a way, not to give himself credit, but to enhance God's reputation. Dr. Parrott, one of my professors, he used to say this, but it wasn't one of the books that he gave us in Christian education. He used to say, "We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're here to glorify a name, and that's the name of Jesus." Wherever you may find yourself, whatever situation you may be, Apostle Paul says, "I have learned the secret to being content in whatever situation I may find myself, whether well-fed or hungry, whether clothes or not, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." So he looks for a way to enhance God's reputation. Do not interpretation belong to God. You will see in a little while why this matters. Do not interpretation belong to God. They told Joseph their dream, and Joseph gave them the interpretation. The Bible says, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation, that's what took place. That's what took place. And in Genesis 40 verse 23, the Bible says, however, even though what Joseph told him, he enhanced God's reputation, he helped them with their dream. You think the chief cupbearer, when he gets out of jail, would look for a way to even give Joseph some amnesty, something? to talk on his behalf. But the chief, however, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. What happened when you are passed up for a promotion? What happened when you are passed up for a promotion? You've given all at work. You've been there long before that person they give the promotion. You're smarter than that person. You show up on time when they come late. What happened? What happened when you are passed up for a promotion? The cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And Joseph remained in the dungeon while this guy go back to the palace. What happened? What happens when you are in a ministry that sometimes seems to be going nowhere? What happened? Because a lot of people at the top, that's when they want to enhance God's reputation. But what happened when God decides to keep you in a ministry, in a marriage, in a relationship where things are not going great? What happens? What happens? You know, I was sharing that with Pastor Joe and Pastor Joe alone not too long ago. I said, man, this last two months been the hardest month for me. Because I kept asking God, what's going on, man? What's going on? What's going on? Here I'm giving my all here. I'm swinging. But the ball does not move. God says, you're going to give me your best wherever I put you. You're going to give me your best. You're going to give me 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours preparing Bible study, preparing sermons, preparing whatever it is that I ask you to prepare. Because if I can't trust you with little, I cannot trust you with much. What happened? What happened when you pass up for promotion? What happened when you find yourself in a ministry that seems stagnant? What happened in a marriage? It always turns for the worse. Whenever you think things are going up, looking great, and then here comes the slide. Never fail. What happened? What happens when you are questioning yourself? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? What happened when other churches are calling you and says, hey, larger churches, 1,000 members, 100 members, come pastor us, when you know where that's where God wants you? What happened when you're in a marriage and then your wife doesn't look at you the way she should and other women are looking at you? Or your husband does not look at you the way the way you should be looked at and other men are looking at you? What happened? No, you enhance God's reputation. Every time. No, this is your purpose. The purpose in life is to enhance God's reputation. Learn from Joseph. He did his best work in the dungeon. He did his best work in slavery. He didn't wait till you get to the top. He did his best work. Next week you will see that. He did his best work. He gave the 100% every time because he knew wherever he was, people were looking at him. And whatever chance he got, he enhanced God's reputation. Wherever you may be, whatever the situation, know that you belong to God. God is your identity. And your purpose is to enhance his reputation. Not yours. Not yours. His and his alone. Do your best work before you get the promotion. Do your best work when you're preaching to a crowd of 10. Do your best work when you're working for Children's Church. Do your best work, because if God cannot trust you with little, He will not be able to trust you with much. So now Joseph finds himself second in command in Egypt. Genesis chapter 40, 41. Listen to what the Bible says. When the full 2 years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile. When out of the river, there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could do anything. And the cupbearer was there. What did Joseph tell the cupbearer? Does that interpretation of dream belong to who? Yeah. Yeah. Do not interpretation belong to God? When everything else fell, you have somewhere to turn to. Interpretation belongs to God. Riches belong to God. Fame belong to God. Health belong to God. When your marriage is in trouble, turn to God. When you can't pay the house, when you can't pay your mortgage, when you can't take care of what, turn to God. When you pass for promotion, turn to God. When your ministry is in trouble, turn to God. Do not the world, not just interpretation, belong to God. When all the magicians can't do anything, when all the scientists can't do anything, when all the philosophers and doctors and bankers can't do anything, do not the earth belong to God? Because Joseph in the prison enhanced God's reputation. Then the man said to Pharaoh, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, verse 9, today I am reminded of my shortcoming. Oh! Today I am reminded of my shortcoming. No, you didn't. God kept it for this moment. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Your help does not come from man. It comes from God. Stop worshiping men for what they have or what they can do for you. Lift up your eyes to the hill. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. That's where your help comes from. Pharaoh was once angry with his servant again, and he imprisoned me. He's reminding Pharaoh what he did. And the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard, each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dream, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it. It says of you that when you hear of a dream, you can give me the interpretation. Listen to Joseph's response. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. Joseph replied, what is he looking to do right now? To enhance God's reputation. I cannot do it, but God will give the answer Pharaoh desired. I can't do it. Oh, that's what you were told? You were told? I told him God is the one. After he spent 2 years forgetting about me, he can't even remember the gospel I preached to him. I told him that interpretation belonged to God, not to me. But then he went and told you, I'm the one who can interpret dreams, not me. I can't do it. Not me. God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he placed Joseph second in command. Listen to what he says in Genesis chapter 41, 39, 40. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, saying, God has made all this known to you. There is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my place, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Wherever Joseph was, whether in the pit, whether in slavery, whether as overseer over Pharaoh's house, whether in jail or second in command, he had one purpose and one purpose alone: to enhance God's reputation. When you live your life to enhance God's reputation, you can certainly sing this rap song. I don't know who wrote it, but I've heard it. We started from the bottom. Now we're here. We started from the bottom. Now we here. When you live your life to enhance God's reputation, He will not fail you. Then Joseph said, next verse 45, then Joseph could no longer control himself. Now this is him meeting his brothers. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him. And Pharaoh's house heard about it. It's not because what happened to Joseph. Joseph is not a robot. Doesn't mean what happened to him did not hurt him. Doesn't mean that he didn't have some sleepless night. But he knew his purpose in life. And he can say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He could say like Apostle Paul, I know in whom I believe. So Joseph did say to his brother, I'm Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. And Joseph said, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold in Egypt. He didn't forget what they did. What happened when the tides are turned? When those who persecute you is in your hand to judge. What do? You enhance God's reputation. What happens when people talk bad about you behind your back and you've done nothing wrong to them? You be still. You keep silent. Let God fight your battle. You enhance God's reputation. Yeah, it's in my power. It's in my power. And sometimes I see a lot of pastors fail to understand that because they have a mic and they could stand in here and blast everybody who's done something wrong to them. So what? You have the power now. What do you do with it? Do you enhance your reputation? Or you enhance God's reputation? So Joseph said to his brother, come close to me. When they had done so, he says, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold in Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here. He didn't get any excuse for them. You sold me here, but all things works. Then I hear you said this morning before you pray, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. But because it was to save life that God sent me ahead of you. Sometimes God has a mission. He needs a trusted man and trusted woman to help accomplish it. But you have to swim more than a mile in cold water. Sometimes you have to stay up all night long watching the base, going on that mission while everyone else is enjoying their bed. Who will go for us? Here I am. Send me. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your life by great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here. Yes, you did all of it. But it was not you who sent me here, but God. And guess what? I started from the bottom. Now I'm here. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and all of Egypt. Oh, I'm not minimize what you're going through or what you've been through. You're not a robot. Oh, in your marriage, yeah, you've done some bad things happen. In your relationship, some bad things happen. In your ministry, some bad things happen. And you wake up every morning, you swing. But yet the ball never moves. Know whose you are. Because when you know whose you are, you never have to go find yourself. Because you've already been found. You are God's masterpiece. You were made in His image and in His likeness. Oh, when you know that, when you know your identity, then you know wherever you may be. In Egypt, in Russia, the United States, in Haiti, Dominican Republic, your life's purpose is to enhance God's reputation. Listen to this song and I'll talk to you a little bit to end. Be in the pit. Somebody might say, well, this is a secular song. Why are we playing it in church? Something is not true because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because it's true. That's why I'm using it. You might find yourself in the pit. Right now you're looking out to sit. So get up and dance. know that the God you serve is able. Don't put your head down. Know your identity. Know this is not it. Sometime when God is refining you and making you gold, making gold out of you, He has to put you through the fire. The question is, are you willing to stand in the fire so that God could have the final piece in His hand? Dance wherever you may be, because you know you're in the hands of God. And the lion then, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says they were praising God. In the caves, David was asking himself, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Job. Yet will I trust him. At this, Job bowed down, shaved his head, tore his clothes. He worshiped. I don't know for you, but I come from a culture when you worship, you dance. I hope you dance. I hope when you stand by the ocean, you can see the wonders of God. Don't lose your wonder. Don't lose your wonders of God. Do not this earth belong to Him? Enhance His reputation. You belong to Him. Know who you are. You are the people of the way. God bless you.